RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
So on Friday, the Waitangi Tribunal called for the Treaty Principles Bill to be abandoned in what RNZ describe as a scathing report. And the Waitangi Tribunal has made the following recommendations. The Treaty Principles Bill policy should be abandoned. The Crown should constitute a Cabinet Māori Crown Relations Committee that has oversight of the Crown's treaty, te tiriti policies. The Tribunal does not consider it appropriate that these matters are considered by the Social Outcomes Cabinet Committee. The Treaty Clause Review Policy should be put on hold while it's reconceptualised through collaboration and co-design engagement with Māori, and that the Crown should consider a process in partnership with Māori to undo the damage to the Māori Crown relationship and restore confidence in the honour of the Crown. So to get his comment on this, and I think we'll touch on a few other matters as well, Cabinet Minister Shane Jones, Minister for Regional Development, Minister for Resources, Associate Minister of Finance and Associate Minister for Energy is with us on RCR. Shane, thanks for coming back on.
Kia ora. Greetings.
So your response... Thank you. Same to you. Your response to that Waitangi Tribunal call last Friday that the Treaty Principles Bill be abandoned?
Well, it's based on a philosophy that New Zealand First will not accept, that Parliament is not sovereign. We believe that Parliament is sovereign. That is a matter of fact. But all of the Waitangi Tribunal reports I've noticed more recently since the settlement of the historical claims continually chip away at the notion that sovereignty rests with Parliament, mandated and legitimised by universal franchise democratic-based elections. So for those of your listeners who are wondering, well, what's all the fuss? You need to dive deeper. Ideologically, it's based around the sense that the treaty, whilst the treaty is aloof from Parliament, but that the treaty is akin to an entrenched constitution that can be appealed to in order to strike down laws and activities in Parliament. And we derive our authority to introduce new laws in Parliament by dint of an election. And the treaty is aloof from the election. Therein lies the contest. And the Waitangi Tribunal, month by month, year by year, is heating up the areas, and it's identifying new areas where this contest can take place. Now, I don't want to sound too pointy-headed, but either we are a system based on parliamentary democracy, where legitimacy flows for the exercise of political power and the passage of laws from the mandate that the populace give the politicians. Now, what's the long-term solution to that? I think if you were to think through from Jane Kelsey's perspective, she would say that Parliament must be fettered and serve the purposes of the treaty. And then, okay, what is the purpose of the treaty? Oh, it's to be found in the principles. Oh, okay, what are the principles? Oh, only the courts can determine what the principles are. So it's quite a nauseating circular sort of argument. And the most recent decision I put to you and your listeners is driven by the fact that the opponents resent the reality that MMP has thrown up two small parties that have a particular range of interventions that challenge the orthodoxy that has come to rule us over the last 10 to 15 years out of the Waitangi Tribunal.
Some of our listeners want to know, Shane, why New Zealand First aren't supporting ACT's Treaty Principles Bill beyond the first reading.
So the thing to bear in mind about New Zealand First is we don't believe there are principles of the Treaty of Waitangi.
Okay.
That's why our body of work, which is in our coalition agreement, is to go act by act, stripping out references to the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, or where we're unable to change them because we don't have the political support, then refine them so that the application is very tight and everyone understands what is the purpose of the retention of such references, as opposed to it creeping and growing depending on the mood or whatever is in vogue. So when we signed the coalition agreement, we absolutely committed to working with the ACT Party and enabling their bill to be introduced voted on and sent to the select committee, and that's all we will be doing. Our preference is actually not to introduce any more legislation further cementing the existence of the principles, but actually to take the legislation out of such legislative references out of the law. That's what we were campaigning on to achieve.
The Crown should constitute a Cabinet Māori Crown Relations Committee. Is that necessary?
No, that has been a feature of Helen Clark. I don't know about John Key. I think Jacinda had such a grouping. Our approach is to not disconnect the dynamic or the challenges associated with the Treaty of Waitangi Tribunal decisions, but put them in the context of a broader discussion as to socially, economically, what works for New Zealand. Because sadly, jurisprudence has led us to a point, it's virtually impossible to talk around a host of big public policy issues without everything being threaded through the eye of the needle. And it's the treaty needle and the eye of the treaty needle. Everything has to be threaded through there. And obviously, there are many ways to achieve positive outcomes economically, socially, culturally for any society. And threading everything through clause 1, 2, or 3 of the treaty is not something that we believe is necessary.
The Crown, just want to stick with this just for a few more moments. The Crown should consider a process in partnership with Māori to undo the damage to Māori-Crown relationship, restore confidence in the honour of the Crown. I see Tukaroi Rangi Morgan, I think he's quoted as saying in the last 24 hours is that this government has thrown Māori under a bus, which sounds quite emotional. What damage are we talking about and with whom, really?
Well, we need to bear in mind that oratory on the marae, which is a courtyard, and it has certain medieval dimensions to it. The king is sitting there, i.e. the King Tuheitia. Then the king has his courtiers. And I'm not belittling how it's all laid out. And to your listeners, garden variety Kiwis probably don't even know that an element of their society has this kind of process. So then you have the courtyard where the oratory takes place. And often it's very passionate, it's colourful, and words are tossed around often with gay abandon. But the words that I spoke on behalf of Winston Peters yesterday in the New Zealand First Party were very measured. And I think that what Tuku Morgan was referring to was the fact that Jim Bolger, I think in 1995, went to the marae and gave an apology on behalf of the Crown, and then later I think Queen Elizabeth signed the Waitangi Treaty Settlement, and he was hoping for a level of consistency with what they associate with that symbolic act. Most of his corridor seemed to be directed his delivery to the National Party and the Prime Minister.
Want to get on to regional development and then just a bit on energy. I see you've been already hosted one of the, I think, 15 regional summits that you've got scheduled, one in Nelson, was it last week or a week or so ago, and a whole bunch more coming up. What are you hearing there? What are you telling the folks, and how's it going down?
So this is an initiative where we're moving out into the community and engaging with the public, or in the case of Nelson, where I was last week, stakeholders representing business, local government, commerce, and infrastructure, explaining to them what's the purpose of the $1.2 billion fund, how it can be accessed, encouraging people to prioritise projects that actually make a difference to resilience and productivity. I mean, these are not buzzwords. Resilience is challenging us more and more because of climate-related volatile weather. But I have to tell you, the reason, amongst other things, why Wairoa flooded is because the local regional council never got off its nullo, its backside, and dredged the river. This used to be a common activity. In fact, dredging should be exempt from the Resource Management Act. If an engineer pops down there and said, right, get the drag line out or the dredge or however the hell they do these things and just get cracking. under the supervision of a registered engineer. It should be happening. The farmers should be going down there helping themselves to all the rock and metal and other kinds of material that are clogging up the rivers. That's how it used to be in the old days. Now you need 10 men and a boy writing consultants' reports, holding lots of hui. I mean, it's hopeless.
Cones.
Pardon?
Road cones.
Yeah, I mean, all of these are symbolic of the kind of constipation that we've surrounded ourselves with, and successive governments seem capable of kind of uncluttering that. So not only is it a matter when I have my regional gigs about the actual fund, it's those types of issues that are impeding and undermining regions. I mean, a bloke stood up and he said, what decade do you think we'll be able to get DOC to complete a plan so our business can thrive in and around the DOC estate in Golden Bay? I mean, it's pathetic that we have a situation where a tiny group of civil servants have to muck around drawing up totally irrelevant plans in order for commerce to flourish, which, by the way, is going to generate foreign exchange earnings, keep people employed, and keep bankruptcy from the door, given the dire economic challenges that many of our regional businesses are facing. My next engagement is Waikato, September the 3rd. And you may not believe this, looking at my cherub-like face, I'll be 65 on the day, September the 3rd, when we're hosting the Waikato Tainui Hamilton Kirikiriroa event, where I will spout forth what the government hopes to achieve in respect of regional New Zealand in and around the Tron.
You're not looking too bad for 65, I had to say. I'm a 60. You're a 65. You're okay. You're
Thank you very
right.
much.
Energy. I'm not trying to sort of pee in your pocket. Energy. Are we going to make it through on power before the winter's over, do you think, Shane?
Well, I think that matters have got a bit easier now that Methanex, the Canadian-owned company that uses a lot of gas in Taranaki, has decided to furlough or shutter its operations,
yep,
and produce
heard that. Yep.
More gas for the public. But look, long term, the rules and regulations pertaining to the energy sector are no longer fit for purpose. We have lost our competitive or comparative advantage. Our energy system is no longer internationally competitive. It's dominated by a small group of generators who also are retailers. They have swapped short-term profit for long-term security, and the national interest is no longer safeguarded by them. So the rules and regulations at some point in time, in my view, need to be changed. I have no idea what the transfer pricing is between the generating costs that these big companies have to sustain and how they transfer the energy through to their retailers. And I don't want to get too technical, yep, on you. There's scope to generate more geothermal energy. That's why the fast-track legislation is needed, so we can get some more hydro dams. But for this year, next year, and the following year, I'm advised by experts, it's going to be tight. Every winter, I think the prices are absurdly high. I do think, however, that the electrical authority that has historically been responsible for monitoring and changing the behaviour of the big players in the energy sector has failed us abysmally, which is why I've derided it as a chocolate teapot.
Just quickly, Harvey Week, who's ex-Methanex, actually, and comes on to RCR quite a bit to talk about his vast experience of energy in that sector, he said that what's really needed is an extra coal-fired generator at Huntly that could be put in pretty quick to take the load. Okay, it burns coal, but it would probably solve the problem. We can do that. Why don't we just, I know it's coal, but why don't we just do that?
I suspect that's one of the options we're going to have to do.
Yep. Okay.
We could do also with another gas peaking station. We just need to secure greater levels of gas availability. Obviously, work is happening to import gas from overseas into New Zealand. I mean, the fact that we're doing that shows how badly New Zealand has been served by the electricity model, in particular the gentailers. And, you know, firms are closing down. Men and women are being tossed on the unemployment scrap heap. And this very week that such sad news is emerging, the gentailers are celebrating their obscene levels of profit. They have failed New Zealand in terms of energy security, our national interest, and they're laughing all the way with a corporate sneer as they enlarge their own bank accounts.
Let's leave it there. Shane Jones, thanks for coming back on RCR.
See you, buddy. Bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.